This presentation has been previously broadcast.
This is the Drew Mariani Show. Where else can you pray with thousands of other listeners every day? Listen in to the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, where we're here for you on Relevant Radio.
And thank you for praying with me. Thank you. I just love this time, and I am so blessed to be able to work this into my broadcast. You know, I was thinking about actually praying. Well, I'll share that with you later. I want to say goodbye to a colleague of mine today, and Luke is going to be praying with us. He was worked in our accounting department. He was an accounting and database assistant, and I always kid him because he's got a great radio voice. He said, "You should be in radio." Luke, it's good to have you praying the chapel with us today. Good afternoon.
Hey, Drew. Good to be with you. Thanks so much for having me.
So I'm glad to have the opportunity to work with you here at Relevant. I wish you, the best in all those future endeavors that you're going to be on. Anything you want to pray for today as you say perhaps one of your last chaplets with me?
Oh, geez, Drew. I just, my heart goes out to this country and that the America will convert back to the ways of the Lord, and that we turn from our sinful ways, especially by bringing an end to abortion.
Amen. I want to pray for you too, all right, for your new ventures. I mean, change is always a difficult thing, but God has a mission for all of us in life, and I'm sure there are great things looming in your future. So we'll pray that the right doors open and that you find fulfillment wherever you are. Hey, I want to share an answered prayer here too. This comes in from Chris. I'll keep your last name anonymous. She says, "Hey, just about a year ago, I started praying the Divine Mercy Chapel. I joined the Divine Mercy Cenacle, became a Eucharistic Apostle. Although I no longer live in that area, I've dedicated all that I do to Divine Mercy and spreading this message. Since praying the chaplet and the novena and placing my trust in the Lord, my prayers have been answered and a healing has taken place. For many years, I battled MS, secondary progressive MS. I am now totally clear and free of MS. The doctor stated, 'You're not in remission. It is completely gone.' And they asked me, and they stated, they asked me how I did this. I stated it was through prayers, especially the Divine Mercy. They said to me, it was a miracle. Thank you so much for this family of prayer with God and for sharing that all things are possible with Him." Well, thank you very much. I'll continue to pray for you, continue spreading the message of mercy. I really believe that God blesses those who promote His mercy. I'm convinced of it. I've seen it in my own life. I know He's going to bless you too. And let me just invite you to do that today. You might say, "Well, I don't know much about Faustina or any of the other aspects of the devotion. I just pray this chaplet with you." Well, then tell one other person. I mean, make that a Lenten resolution before we wrap this up. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe before the great feast of mercy even. Let's tell one other person, "Hey, I've been praying this chaplet on the air. You should check this program out. They pray for people at this time. I know you're going through a tough time." Introduce one other person to this devotion. The Lord promised anybody who spreads the message of His mercy, He would protect like a mother her tender infant. And He made a promise for you. You'll hear this promise as we begin the novena to the Divine Mercy starting on Good Friday. You'll hear one of the intentions where the Lord talks about those who spread the message. He also said that you would shine. You would shine with a special brilliance in the next life. Now, that's a mystery. I'm not quite sure what that means, but I love that promise. And I want to do all I can to promote mercy. And on that note, too, one other thing you could do is maybe get my book if you haven't. It's free. All you have to do is sign up, and there's no shipping. There's no handling. There's no strings attached. I just want you to have it. Maybe read it and then share it with one other person and ask that person to share it with one other person, because I think Divine Mercy is a devotion. I was having a conversation earlier today with somebody about why this devotion is spreading the way it is. And the person said, maybe it is a devotion for our time. We both pray the rosary every day. That's just as powerful. But God gives these special devotions at times of great need for the church. And I think this is one that really moves the heart of God. I also think because the period of His mercy is limited, and we will see His justice. He told Faustina, "Before I come as a just judge, I first come as a merciful Savior. But woe to those of you who do not recognize this time of my visitation." You take a look at the craziness in the world we just talked about. You take a look at the rejection of God and the evil. This prayer holds back the hand of God, holds back His justice. Let's pray right now for mercy on your life, on this country, for all those intentions that you have. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You expire, Jesus. But the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and a life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, our first call today comes from Jack, listening to us in Beaverton, Oregon. Hey, Jack, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thanks for taking my call.
Got it.
I've been listening to you for a while and appreciate everything you do.
Well, thank you. Thank you. That's very kind, Jack. Thanks.
My prayer request is for my grandchildren, that I would see them again. They're a major part of my life, and there's been child abuse issues that happened, and I had to report that to the authorities, and now the parents are stating that I'll never see the kids again. And so a reason not only for the chaplet but for calling is so that we can be united in prayer, that everybody that's hearing this can pray for these kids, Anthony and Adrian. And the smaller one, who's four, has such a devotion to Jesus. He was asked, well, why do you want to go to church? And he says, well, because Jesus loves me, and, well, I love Jesus too.
Wow. Look, Jack, I'm going to pray in particular for you in a very special way, especially on the great feast of divine mercy that comes up when the floodgates of God's mercy are open. The Lord promised St. Faustina, he told her that anything we ask in virtue of this prayer, it would be granted to us. And I know that the Lord, if it's according to his will, I know you did the right thing. And I know that God wants you reunited with your grandchildren. So I'm going to pray. I know our spiritual family, you're one of a number of people here who pray every day together, and I know we pray for each other outside of this chaplet. So let's pray for you right now. Let's pray for your grandchildren, for their safety. Let's pray for reconciliation and reunion. Lord, I pray wherever there's division in families, especially, that you bring healing. I pray wherever there's abuse, wherever there's molestation, wherever there is wrongdoing, that healing can also come to that, and that can be brought to the light. And Lord, I just ask for mercy on this grandfather who, at a great cost, did the right thing. And I entrust him to your mercy. And I stand on those promises as we now pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Again, Jack's diary entry 1731. Through this chaplet, you will obtain everything if what you ask is compatible with my will. And I know he wants you united with your family and your children. I know he wants marriages united. I know he wants addiction broken. I know the Lord hears these prayers. So let's all pray deep and let's pray with a lot of trust. Our next call comes from Maria. She's listening in Las Vegas. Hey, Maria, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. First time caller. Thank you.
Great.
I listen to you every day.
I have a couple of
requests for my daughter's heel, that her heel is not healing well at all. So I want the Lord to help her with that. And then for my cousin that I just found out that she had her toe amputated because she's diabetic. And she came with an infection out of nowhere, and wow, they had to cut it off. And so I want, you know, for her fully recovered and no more infection growing.
Okay. Well, we'll pray for that right now, Maria. Good, and we'll pray for you. I'm glad this is your first time calling. I'm glad you got through. Thank you for praying with me. God bless you. All right. Maria, I pray for Maria. I pray for these intentions. And, you know, people who have foot pain and problem, it can be debilitating. And I do pray for anyone who is diabetic in this moment, anyone who is facing the possibility of an amputation. I do pray for those who have to go through hip and joint replacements at this particular moment. And a friend of mine whose son was having a difficult time just came to mind. And I want to pray for a young man named James. And I just want to lift up all of your intentions. I unite them to Maria and all who are praying with me now. Lord, hear our prayers as we turn to you again. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, next call comes from Mary in Chicago. Hi, Mary. Thanks for praying with us.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. I have a request for a prayer for one of my family members. She's a mother of two kids. We don't have children. She's having cancer of the lung, and she's suffering for last 6 months. So far, treatments are not really doing so good for her. Right now, she's on a target therapy, and that gives her some complications, complications. So please pray for her. We all will pray for her, for healing, and she has to lead a good life for the rest of her life with her family. So, Lord, that's one thing. The next thing, I pray for all the COVID patients, especially for my daughter-in-law's father, who is sick in the hospital, not doing very well. So I request the prayer for her, and I pray for the peace in this world and for all those who are away from the church and from the faith.
I love it. Mary, thank you for that beautiful prayer. We'll lift up right now all those who are away from the faith. That is so critical. Lord, I know we are created to live with ever, to forever, to be with you. And I just pray for the conversion of those who do not know you, and those who reject you, those who've grown lukewarm and tepid in their faith, for their real revival, renewal, for a resurrection of their faith. I do pray for those battling COVID for complete and total healing. I pray for protection over the health of all who are now praying with me and those they care about and love. And we do pray in particular for cancer, as it manifests in so many different parts of the body and affects people in such profound ways. I pray for those with lung cancer, in particular this intention Mary brought forward. But I pray for those who you will call home through this, as well as those that are now in the fight. And we pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. One more. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
I wasn't sure whether I lost count. Ed is listening in Vallejo, California. Hi, Ed.
Hi. Many blessings to you and your family.
Thank you.
I want to, for my cousin Carol, she has cancer, and for all those suffering from whatever, for our church, for our society, and that's it. And I reserved your book. Have a blessed day.
Thank you, Ed. God bless you. Lord, I pray for Ed and all those beautiful intentions. Let's pray for the church, too. Boy, do we need it, don't we? For society at large, we have so lost our way. I just pray for an illumination in the minds and the hearts of our leaders and of our citizenry. And I do pray for our priests, our bishops, our cardinals, and all religious who so desperately need our prayers. I bring you cancer again and all the intentions that Ed has brought forward. Lord, I ask for miracles. We heard about MS disappearing. We hear about cancer disappearing. I pray once again in this very moment that you hear these prayers and you allow your healing grace to reach those who have cancer. And to the bafflement and amazement of the doctors, allow those cancer cells to disappear as we pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Carol Stream, Illinois is on deck. Mary's praying with us there. Hi, Mary. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. My prayers are for my nephew, Michael Carr, and he's 12 years old, and he's battling brain cancer for the last 6 years, and he is now in a hospice, and my prayers are for a miracle, Drew. I believe in miracles.
Oh, Mary, my heart goes out to you. I'm so sorry. Seems so unfair, doesn't it? That a 12-year-old has to battle cancer for 6 years of his life. Well, let's do this. Let's pray. All right, let's hold out that big cup. Let's pray for a big divine mercy miracle here. And Lord, I just bring you this beautiful woman whose heart is broken. I pray for Mary. I pray for all those who suffer in their own way, carry their own cross because their loved ones have cancer. And Lord, I ask for mercy on these children. It's so hard to understand why you allow this. I know St. Augustine wrote that God is, he's certainly more desirous of our welfare than even we are. And you know, he is the creator of the universe. And he says, in all the accidents which befall us, all the difficulties that befall us, all of this happens for the best. And some way, somehow, God brings good. I'm asking for a miracle here. That'd be a wonderful testimony. But Lord, whatever your will is, I give you the crosses and the trials that we all carry. Give us the grace to have faith and trust and fortitude to carry those crosses. Give us the wisdom to discern your will. But I ask again for miracles. By the passion of your Son, I just ask this in this moment. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Our Lord, just give you that intention. It's really hit me. Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless, and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible. Please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Sopochko,
pray for us.
All you holy souls in purgatory,
pray for us.
All you holy innocent,
pray for us.
All you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Luke, thank you for praying with me.
Hey, thanks, Drew.
Appreciate it. And God bless you in your new ventures.
Thanks, you too.
Gosh, my heart goes out to all these intentions. And I don't know if you feel the same way. I mean, I hear these intentions day in and day out. It's not just about this 20 minutes that you and I pray together. I mean, I will remember these intentions when I spend time with the Lord throughout the day, and I pray throughout the day. I try to spend a lot of time with the Lord. And St. Faustina wrote about the importance of prayer, and I hope you'll do the same thing. I hope you will remember these intentions and ask God for those miracles that will testify to his abundant mercy, that will testify to his goodness and his kindness. When we come back, we'll talk more. I hope you'll stay with me. I want you also to please get my book on mercy and share it with somebody else. I think it'll help them. Just go to relevantradio.com. You can sign up for free. We'll even send it to you for free.
The most powerful personal prayer at Mass was written by a guy who wasn't even baptized. Hi, this is Father Rocky with our 37th lesson on the Mass. It's the Lord I Am Not Worthy prayer, and it was an unbaptized Roman soldier who made it up. Right before Holy Communion, the priest genuflex, takes the host, and holding it slightly raised above the paten or above the chalice while facing the people, says aloud, "Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those who are called to the supper of the Lamb." And together with the people he adds once, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed." Lord, I am not worthy. These are some of the most famous words ever spoken, and they're repeated daily by tens of millions of Catholics at Mass right before Holy Communion.
Hi, Drew Mariani here.
We need God's mercy more than ever.
The Divine Mercy Chaplet, part of the Drew Mariani Show. 3 p.m. Central on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
You know, today on the church calendar, traditionally known as Spy Wednesday, it's a day that, well, Judas acted as a spy, right? He was an enemy. He betrayed the Lord. He sold him for, what, 30 pieces of silver? It's a day that we need to, I think, in some respects, examine ourselves. We look at him like, I would never do that. How could Judas do that when he saw Christ walk on water and multiply loaves and, you know, pull coins from fish's mouth? How could he do that? How could he do that? So hard for us to get our head around that. I think it's a good time for us to examine our own selves. You know, how have you betrayed the Lord? Have you sold the Lord for something else? For the promotion, for the pleasure, for whatever it might be? Have you thrown the Lord out so you could give in to whatever those particular temporal needs or desires were? That's sin. I think too many of us do. We sell the Lord out for a lot less than 30 pieces of silver. And I know we talk about Judas. Who is he? And where is he today? You know, Christ said it'd be better if he'd never been born, right? That's a horrible indictment. That is a horrible indictment. The Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, saying it'd be better if he'd never been born. Is he in hell? Do we know? A lot to talk about. I'm joined this afternoon by Roy Shoman. He's an adjunct professor of theology at Ave Maria University and at Holy Apostles Seminary. He's been a great friend of this program. He speaks frequently at Catholic parishes and conferences all throughout the country and around the world. And he is he's the author of the book Salvation is from the Jews, as well as Honey from the Rock. And you'll love those books. You can learn more at salvationisfromthejews.com. And he's got a great conversion story to share himself. Professor, thank you for your time. It's good to have you at this holy time of year. I hope you're doing well.
I am, and thanks for having me.
We begin this whole series. You know, the Triduum unfolds before us in the days ahead with the Last Supper and, of course, Passion Friday. But Judas, this was a critical night. Judas spent 3 years with Jesus, just like the rest of the apostles. And as I was mentioning, he saw everything. He knew who Christ was. And yet he went and he betrayed the Lord. What do we know about him? Who was Judas? And why was he so different from these other apostles? Of course, Peter betrayed him. Others fled from the cross. But Peter sold him, or Judas sold him out for 30 pieces of silver. Give me your take, if you could, or your insight on who Judas of Iscariot really was.
Well, I'm not sure I have a deep, a deep psychological insight into it. It is clearly a mystery. I think that he felt betrayed by Jesus, to tell the truth, actually. I think that his feelings were very hurt by Jesus, that he had expected, he had been, sleeping in the roughs, let's say, being as one of the disciples and wandering around, and he expected his day of glory as being, in the court of the king or something. Mm-hmm. And he saw, he saw that crumbling, and I think he probably actually felt betrayed by Jesus, that Jesus had really let him down, and he had a vengeful impulse to, if he's not going to give me what I deserve, then I will get what I deserve from his enemies by turning him over.
And you can almost understand that, you can understand how he might have that perspective. But then Christ says it would be better if this man had never been born. I mean, that is an indictment beyond all. But you can understand how his mind might have been clouded. I mean, how do you interpret those words?
I would love to hear an interpretation other than what seems the only possible one, which is that Jesus, of course, knows everything. And there's only one circumstance in which it would be better not to be born. And that's if one ends up in hell. Right. If one's in purgatory, one's going to end up in heaven. And if one's in heaven, one's going to be in heaven. Both of those are very wonderful circumstances, wonderful to have been born. The only circumstance in which it would be better not to be born is if you end up damned. Also, I believe Jesus also refers to him as the son of perdition at one point. Mm-hmm. And which, again, perdition is being lost. So I know that... I know the dare we hope kind of theology, but I don't know actually what their response is to Jesus saying it would have been better for him not to be born. The church, pretty consistently has interpreted that in the evident way.
Well, I guess one of the great sins is not accepting God's mercy and his forgiveness and turning to him, thinking that you can't do that. And I'm assuming since Christ knew all things, he knew that as Judas was hanging at the end of that rope, perhaps there was not contrition in his heart. Perhaps he didn't accept or turn to God for mercy in that hour. And maybe Christ does know where he went. But the church has never definitively said that he was going to hell. We don't know where Judas is, do we? We don't know what happened between his last heartbeat and the next life. I mean, maybe God, who's outside of time, maybe Christ reached out to him and Judas accepted his mercy. I don't know. But, for Christ to say that, I would think he's probably, he's in a place he wouldn't, I wouldn't want to be.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I agree with you that nothing would have stopped, how can I put it, Judas would not have been lost if he had, turned to Christ's mercy, to God's mercy. I just don't know how to interpret those words of Jesus to tell the truth other than the transparent way.
I agree. Well, let me do this. I want to open the phones too. I my guest today, Professor Roy Shoman. If you want to get in, Good time to call. It's 888-914-9149. Go ahead, Professor. I'm sorry.
Yeah, there was one thing I wanted to point out because it seems very relevant to the story of Spy Wednesday, frankly, which is we're in Holy Week and the Triduum is coming up. But Holy Week, of course, began with Palm Sunday. And you have this beautiful sequence of events from Palm Sunday and then Monday and Tuesday. Remember, Monday and Tuesday is when Jesus was teaching in the temple all day, right? He would go there all day, every day. He gave these beautiful parables. He spoke both of those days. But the interesting thing is on Monday and Tuesday, he sounded very different, which is Monday and Tuesday is the days when he gave all the parables about the failure of the Jews. You know, he gave a wedding feast, you know, the king who gave a wedding feast and the invitees wouldn't come. So he got people from the street. He gave the parable of the unfaithful tenants who were entrusted with his vineyard and they beat and killed the owner's servants when they came. So then the owner said, I'll send my son, they'll respect him. But then they killed him. The Pharisees knew that he was talking, Jesus was talking about them. It even says in the Gospels, the Pharisees got angry because they knew Jesus was talking about them. This was when the Pharisees were always trying to trap Jesus, you know, with the story of the coin of Caesar's and the woman who had seven brothers who were husbands, you know, right. Who will she have in heaven? Jesus not only won up them all, but they left a tremendous amount of egg in their face. You know, he really, really, really humiliated them every single time. And then, as though that weren't enough, this is also the period when he's saying, woe to you, Pharisees, you're like whitewashed tombs. So he's actually cursing them. I mean, not cursing them like wishing they would have a bad fate, but cursing them like just pointing out how evil and hypocritical and corrupt they are for 2 days straight. And they have already decided to kill Jesus. Because, I mean, we know that from John 7, that already 5 months earlier, they were already discussing how they were going to kill him, not whether they were going to kill him. I don't know if you remember, but the Feast of Tabernacles before Easter, which we see in John 7, Jesus was going to go up to Jerusalem, but he didn't because the Jewish authorities were seeking to kill him. Right. And when he did show up there, the people around the temple said, what's he doing here? Doesn't he know they're going to kill him? So he was already, they've been angry at him for a long time. And instead of going off and hiding, so to speak, he throws it in their face for these 2 days straight, right, on the temple. Right. And so it's the next day, right, the Pharisees have been, you know, kind of saturated with this. I'll just read it's just two verses from Matthew 26. When Jesus had finished all of these sayings, right, all of these, you know, just in-your-face attacks on the Pharisees, or not attacks in a negative way, but, you know, kind of exposing them. When Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said to his disciples, you know that after 2 days the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. So we know we're talking about Wednesday. Then the chief priests and the elders of the people gathered in the palace of the high priest, who is called Caiaphas, and took counsel together in order to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be a tumult among the people. Because, of course, you know, half of the Jews in Israel were gathered in Jerusalem for the Feast of Passover. We had just had Palm Sunday, where Hosanna to the Son of David, you know, so he had this huge following. So the chief priests and the Pharisees were saying, well, you know, we're dying to kill him, but we can't do it now because we'll start a resurrection. And maybe we'll be at the receiving end of that, or maybe it'll just upset the Romans that we let this happen and we'll be at the receiving of that. So we'd better wait till after the feast. They've just had this meeting, right? They're probably still at that meeting when Judas knocks on the door and volunteers to betray him. Wow. You know, it's just a perfect setup for what happened.
It really is. It's such a wonderful point. Well, look, Professor, I have to take a short pause. When we come back, let's take a few calls. We're talking about Judas Iscariot and such a key and really such a tragic figure in the Passion story. He's one of the great apostles who, you know, saw Christ perform incredible miracles. I often think of the one passage where Jesus told his apostles, go out by two, you know, in twos, and preach the gospel, cure the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead. And they all came back and they told Jesus what they had done. And I'm assuming Judas was part of that two by two that went out. When we come back, let's talk about maybe the miracles of Judas. Let's talk about what happened with him. And we'll take some calls. People wondering about the devil entering Jesus, the Last Supper, and so much more. If you want to join us, I only have the professor for probably 10 more minutes. So I will take your calls on the other side. The number for you is 888-914-9149. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Your virtual parish. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Thomas of Canterbury for years.
Father Richard Simon.
We lived on the Holy Spirit of that place because we had no money and we fed thousands of people a week. It was the power of God. And you see, we need to expect miracles because God is rich in generosity and mercy. But it just isn't a self-help club. The church isn't just kind of a positivist society that helps us to be good people. No, this is the invasion of the power of God in the world. And we look at the world in which we live, it's coming apart, and the Lord says, come to me, walk out of the boat. Well, he did. And then he looked down at the waves and began to sing. All we ever look at now are the waves. Oh, did you hear what just happened? There's news from the Vatican. There's news from Washington. Stop looking at the waves.
Father Simon says, 1 p.m. Central on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
How in this time of turmoil can you find peace? Well, we've got the solutions for you right now. Dr. Tim Heck is a therapist, author, and speaker online at liturgies.org.
Who would have thought that we'd still be dealing with so much of what life is throwing at us? And then when we add the political unrest and the turmoil within our cities, so what are people doing? The ones who are really doing well, who are finding their way through this, they are drawing on their faith. They're coming back to faith. And that's what makes this a really good and a keen opportunity for all of us to reorient ourselves to the eternal perspective. The glorious gift that we have as Christians is that our perspective is one that is God-based. It's faith-based. It's Christ-based. It's eternally based and founded. And that has the potential to bring us a sense of peace and turmoil.
Morning Air, 5 a.m. Central on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
The Relevant Radio studio line is sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters. Information about employment opportunities and their flexible premium life insurance plans available at relevantradio.com/forester.
Your source for a faith-filled look at the most important issues of the day.
This is the Drew Mariani Show on the Relevant Radio app.
Yeah, well, I thought today would be a great opportunity to talk about Judas. It is Spy Wednesday, and I thought, who would be great to look into this? Well, I thought Roy Schoeman. He is the author of Salvation is from the Jews, The Role of Judaism in Salvation History, and Honey from the Rock, 16 Jews Find the Sweetness of Christ. Of course, he's a very gifted professor of theology, and he is a great convert, too. And we're talking about Judas. You have a question regarding who he was, what Scripture reveals. Love to hear from you. And if you're on hold, I'll do my very best to get you on the air. Professor, let's jump right into the phones. Ron is listening in Los Angeles, California. Hi, Ron.
Good afternoon to both of you, and God bless and happy Holy Lenten season.
Thank you.
The key thoughts that came to mind were at the passage of the dipping into the bowl, regards to the bread, and regards to the symbol of who's going to be, or the sign who's going to betray him. I think that plus the passage that Jesus, you know, warns that it'd be better that the person was better off dead or never had been born. I think was twofold. One was to outright give Judas the chance to repent and not do what he had in his heart, and at the same time, it was a blatant show of divine mercy to give him that opportunity to change. But being God, he knew that not only Judas was going to do this, but he probably saw it coming and did not see the repentance.
I think you're right on. I think it's a great point. Professor, your response, your thoughts.
Oh, well, I, I think the college does a much better job than I did. I think it makes, you know, it's a very beautiful way of expressing it, because Jesus went to the cross for Judas also. I mean, he would have gone to the cross just to save Judas if Judas allowed himself to be saved, so to speak. That dipping the bread and passing it, by the way, there's a little bit of the Jewish background there, because, of course, the Last Supper was a Passover Seder. And there is a point in the Passover Seder where the matzah, and by, of course, the bread at the Last Supper was all matzah because it was a Passover Seder, is dipped, and then it's eaten with the dip, which is actually called karoset. And there is a tradition of dipping it for somebody else. In other words, as a sign of affection, that you dip it and then you give it to, you know, you give it to your spouse, or you give it to a particular, you know, favorite, just as a kind of a gesture. And so we Jewish converts, not that there's so many of them, wonder whether that could not have been part of it, that Jesus was actually reaching out in that way to Judas also.
Well, it was a great comment, Ron. Thank you for calling and for bringing that up. Professor, that's why I love having you on. I love the Jewish insight that you're able to give. Eileen is listening in Washington, D.C. Eileen, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you so much for taking my call. And it's so funny because we're talking about the Jewish heritage. I recently just found out that, and correct me because I'm going to pronounce this wrong, but I have Ashkenazic Jew in my genes. Is it, oh my goodness.
Ashkenazi, probably. Ashkenazi.
Yes, that's it, right? So anyway, I'm happy to call in today, because I was thinking recently that when it comes to Judas, as a newly returned Catholic, I came back to my faith. I'm 53, left the church when I was, as soon as I could, and came back at the age of 49. I was thinking that when it comes to Judas, you know, so often, you know, we hear jokes about the fact that, people leave the church right after communion, right, to get to the parking lot,
sure, right?
And I had heard somebody say, you know, who's the head of that church? and the answer, of course, is Judas, right? And but in some contemplation, I need to accept the fact that I'm Judas. And I'm Judas every day. And I think it was St. Philip who said, Lord, don't turn your back on me for a second, because I will betray you.
I think you bring up a great point. I think you bring up a wonderful point. I think we all betray the Lord like Judas. We look at him like, wow, what a wretched human. I would never do that. And yet I think we betray him for a lot less than 30 pieces of silver.
Thank you. So I didn't have a question. I just wanted to just share that's where I am with the whole Judas thing. You know, I have to look at my day, and I have to look at my actions, and I have to look at those sins that I don't want to let go of and see Judas. So thank you again, and thank you both for all that you do.
Well, thank you, Eileen. And I started with that, making that point. She kind of bookended it. I think she's right. I think we look at Judas as though he's this horrible figure, and yet there's a lot of Judas in all of us.
I think that is exactly the bottom line. And if I can give it a little bit of the Jewish flavor again, you know, there's always been this erroneous view throughout centuries that the Jews are responsible for the death of Jesus, and the Jews are guilty of the death of Jesus. But already the Catechism of the Council of Trent in the 16th century said dogmatically, the Jews are not responsible for Jesus' suffering and death. We are, every time we sin.
The Lord suffered in so many ways. I mean, not just physically. You think about the physical aspects of his passion, but that time in the garden, you know, that being left alone, being betrayed by Judas. You know, today on Spy Wednesday, as we reflect on that audio from that was from the Jesus Film Project, I want to talk about forgiveness and what it has meant for you. Maybe there was a time when you were betrayed, you had to let go and forgive, and you can share your story too of how you were able to do that. Maybe you can encourage someone else who just cannot forgive. I mean, it's easy to hold grudges, isn't it? It's hard to let go sometimes. Hard to let go, especially people who hurt you. You can join me 888-914 888-914-9149. Before I grab calls, let me just share with you a quick story of a woman that I know. She's a New York Times bestselling author. She was hunted and hid away for about 90 days. And if she was found, she would have been killed. Well, she would have been raped and then probably murdered with a machete. But God's protection was over her. And what she did when she survived is quite telling as well. I don't know if you know the story of Immaculée Ilibigiza. She's a New York Times bestselling author of the book Left to Tell. She spoke with CBS News. Here's part of her story.
You're trapped inside this bathroom.
Yes.
You have no idea when you're going to get out. You pray this prayer every day that when it comes time to forgive those who would trespass against you, you cannot do it.
I couldn't do that.
Could not say the words.
Yes.
What changed in your heart that made you say, even though death is outside my door, even though my family has been destroyed by these people, I will open my heart to them?
You know, when I said that prayer, I realized that one time it was a prayer that God himself, our Lord, gave us. And when I said those, I remember that, you know what? I want you to help me to forgive. Help me out. And when I was able to open my heart just to help me out, mm-hmm. that is really when I understood that these people are going through a state of mind I cannot go in.
Right.
And I want to understand what is going on in their hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when you try to understand, that is the only way you can really find forgiveness.
It's the other verse in the Bible, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Yeah.
Is what Jesus said. Mm-hmm. Still, we might, in any of our circumstances in everyday life, you were in the middle of a war.
Mm-hmm.
Your family, by and large, has been killed by these people.
Mm-hmm.
These people want to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
How do you find that spot to say, I don't hate you?
You know, the hatred, I went through a moment of rage. I went through a moment of when I wanted to kill them, just like they did to me. But especially that moment when I realized that I am lying. I'm saying words I can't do. And I really went on my knees and asked, help me out. That is when I found in my heart that it was possible to understand that mm-hmm. the state of mind they're going through, I don't have...
You don't have it.
I don't have it. Right. And I don't have to hate them for me to find justice.
All right, that's Immaculée Ilibigiza. And I want to recommend her book. It's called Left to Tell. She survived the horrible Rwandan genocide in 94. It's interesting. When I was a documentary filmmaker, I was actually in that country in 1988. And I was present for one of the last apparitions of the Mother of God there to the seers. The Virgin Mary had told these seers in apparitions earlier about the Holocaust that was going to take place in her country. She showed them visions of what was to come. People with no heads, bloody, horrific murders. And Immaculée was one of those Tutsis that were hunted by the Muslim Hutus. I mean, Tutsis were predominantly Christian. And as you probably know, her family was slaughtered. Her entire family. Imagine your family today, somebody coming in and just raping and murdering your loved ones, killing everybody but you. She spent 3 months in a tiny bathroom of a pastor's house, and along with seven other women, hiding from these murders. I mean, you couldn't even lay down. You couldn't sit. I mean, these women were jammed into this tiny bathroom. And she recounts how the killers were looking specifically for her. And how one of them actually said, I've killed 399 cockroaches. Immaculée, you'll make 400. It's a good number to kill. There were people she knew and loved. People that she saw on a daily basis, her neighbors and her friends. And yet they killed her family and they looked for her. They wanted to rape and kill her. But she prayed the rosary and she prayed the chaplet and she invoked God's mercy. And she went into that bathroom when she entered it. I think she weighed 115 pounds. When she left, she weighed 65. And of course, the fact that she was now without family, the fact that the fact that they had been murdered by people that she knew, yet she prayed. She prayed to forgive her family's killers. Otherwise, she would be consumed by hate. And through that prayer, she was able to reach a point and even told one of her family killers face to face that she forgave him. Father Ubald also went through the same thing. And we've talked about his story in the past. I won't go into that. But there's a great documentary on that where you actually see people who during these killers from Rwanda sitting next to their victims family members, and the love and the forgiveness that's been shown. I don't know how they do it. I mean, it's hard, isn't it? It's so hard to forgive those who persecute us. And many of us have not lost loved ones. We might have been betrayed and wounded and hurt in other ways. We are called to forgive. That's what God calls us to do. That's what you're called to do. And I really challenge you this Lent to step out and to go ahead and to do that.
Whether you're in a relationship, married, or a single Pringle and ready to mingle,
Trending with Timmery.
Wouldn't it be nice if our communication skills just got so good that we could actually just say, no, thank you. It's no for me, dog. Honestly, that's the most gracious thing to do, to compliment and allow the other person to move on.
An eternal perspective on today's hottest topics. Trending with Timmery, 6 p.m. Central on Relevant Radio.
Sometimes just before the sun comes up and goes down, your favorite Relevant Radio station may be a little bit difficult to get on the actual radio, so you can just head over to our Relevant Radio app.
Relevant Radio, always crystal clear on the Relevant Radio app.